With the Now Jobs app, you're only 3 clicks away from a new student worker. Let us introduce you to the Now Jobs app. That's extra help in just a few clicks. No fuss, no administration. Download it now. Available in Belgium, the Netherlands, France, and soon in Germany.
Now Jobs. Get the job done.
Ka-ching!
Some podcasts do it for the fun. Some do it for the fame. Chad and Cheese, they do it for global effing domination. That's right, bringing America to its knees was just the beginning. Now, they have their eyes set on conquering Europe. And they've drafted industry veteran Leven von Neuerhauser of Belgium to help them navigate the old country and bring HR's most dangerous podcast across the pond to trash talk like never before. Not safe for work in any language. The Chad and Cheese podcast does Europe.
Oh, it's the show with zero supply chain issues. But boy, is my colon backed up this morning after that bowl of Lucky Charms.
Oh, come on!
Magically delicious, my arse. You are listening to the Chad and Cheese podcast does Europe. I'm your co-host, Joel Bottleneck Cheeseman.
And this is Chad, red light, green light, so wash.
And I'm once again just Leven von Neuerhauser forgetting to find a new nickname.
And on this episode, Facebook goes full court press on the old country. Unicorns, money, more unicorns, and more money. Cha-ching, oh, and Chad. VR, baby. Hell yeah. Let's do this.
Europe has a bunch of countries in it.
European. Talent. Intelligence. What does it mean? Imagine a world where it's easier for you to find and know your target group. Where it's easier to recruit and attract the talent you need from a European talent pool. Every year, thousands of corporate recruiters, HR departments, and intermediaries rely on Intelligence Group to make that dream a reality. Intelligence Group is the European market leader in recruitment talent intelligence. With innovative dashboards and tailor-made research in 28 European countries. It is our job to empower you as a state-of-the-art, data-driven recruitment business partner. Recruiting with data is great. Recruiting with Intelligence Group is better. Learn more about our services at intelligence-group.nl. Intelligence Group, market leader in European talent intelligence.
What's up, guys?
Oh, dude. I'm telling you right now.
It's our 10th show, if my math is correct.
Is it really?
We're on show number 10. We made it this far.
Carry the one. Yeah. No, that's
congratulations.
Right.
That's right. Certainly 10 more episodes
are
in the office.
Let me check real quick. Is Leven there? Leven, are you there?
I'm there. Still there.
I got to give a shout out to sound effects right out of the gate because last week's show, the first 5 minutes, you were in your kid's treehouse. And we had actually some back and forth about that. That did make the show because your audio for that 5 minutes didn't record. So I had to go in and actually use sound effects to replicate Leven's reactions. My question to you, Leven, did I do an okay job?
Probably nobody noticed any difference. So it says a lot about me, I think.
We have a special guest, guys. We didn't have one last week. So we're
not.
Really happy to introduce Daniel Masada. He's the founder and CEO of Volante and longtime HR services tech human capital geek. And he promises to give us some German accent at some point. Daniel, welcome to the Chad and Cheese podcast.
Thanks so much. Thanks everyone for having me on. Yeah, we'll get back to that German thing later for sure.
Sprechen Sie Deutsch. Yes.
Is Volante German? That doesn't sound German. What the heck does that company do?
It's not German. It's a good question. The name is inspired by the French language. You know, I spent a few years in France as well. So Volante.
So sexy. Oh yeah.
There you go.
Volante, does it come from voler? Stealing.
No, Leven, nice try, but no. No, it's Volante for willpower. You know, we built a workforce agility platform, and we're really helping people navigate change better. You know, in order to navigate change well, you need some good, strong willpower, and you got to understand, like, what to focus on. So It's all about willpower, volante, not stealing, Levin. No, okay. Sorry.
It could have been, could have been.
And where are you calling in from today, Daniel?
I'm calling in from beautiful Long Island, New York.
New York City?
Another European that came over here to mess things up. Love
there
it.
There you go. Yeah, I'm another one of
yeah,
those.
That, yeah, I did, because that's not what our history was what was set upon.
Well, guys, how about some shout outs?
Do it.
All right. I got a shout out for beer. Is there a better shout out than that?
So no, there is not.
Apparently, bathing in beer is the hottest thing going in Europe right now.
What?
According to an article from Vice, Belgium's first beer spa just opened up in Brussels, where Chad and I will conveniently be next month, by the way. So I'm just saying a Chad Cheese and Leaving Live from a tub of Duvel. I don't know. Maybe in our future. Inside the spa, guests are invited to a hop-based scrub before hopping into a large tanks of brewing liquids butt naked. You can pick your favorite hop, which you can use to exfoliate your skin, which I know is important to Chad.
Yes.
It's good for your skin, full of antioxidants, and hops are also part of the hemp and cannabis family, so you'll be nice and relaxed. What's to hate about bathing in beer? Shout out to Crazy Europeans bathing in my favorite brew.
Levin, what is this about? You guys make some of the best beer in the world, and you're going to waste it in a tub?
The best.
At least we wash.
Wait a minute. Wait, you're from Europe and you're saying at least you wash? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No.
Have you done this or know anyone that's done this?
I've never ever heard of a story as stupid as that one. I've never seen someone bathing in beer. Well, maybe I have, but in different situations. But well, I should give it a try probably. It sounds fun. Like, yeah. It
sounds a lot of fun to me.
Try it once.
The picture had a tap right next to the beer tub of beer. So
I don't even know. I don't know why this is, you know, so strange to you guys. We do this all the time in Germany. I don't know. You know, I don't.
On Sundays, yeah. Sunday beer bots.
Yeah, but we're not talking about bathing in beer with regard to how much you drink, Daniel, during Oktoberfest.
Okay.
We're talking about getting in a tub. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's different.
I misunderstood then, clearly. Yeah, that's different. That's what Belgians do. Oh, that's what you said, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I've got a shout out. A shout out to Play It. Play It is a Belgium game-based learning platform, and basically they create a virtual lookalike of a company in which an avatar can walk around, and then they use the surroundings to train people from home, which has been working great during COVID. But now recently, one of their clients, which is a big grocery chain, they trained older employees in resuscitation, you know, heart massage and mouth-to-mouth, etc. And recently, a customer collapsed in the store and he was successfully resuscitated by one of the employees, claiming he got the skills by playing the educational game. And I think it's a great idea to keep your clients alive, so probably a very good investment. Shout out to Play It.
Here's to heart massage, everybody.
Dude, it just seems like total bullshit to me. I don't know how many CPR classes or like combat lifesaver classes I've gone through. I just to be able to find out where you need to put your hands and your mouth and all that stuff, to be able to think that you can do it on a video game, to me, if you can, that's awesome, but it just seems way foreign.
If I had a dollar for every time I got smacked for asking a girl if she wanted a heart massage, you know? It's just, okay. Just trying to help.
Yeah, I think you're talking about breast exams. I have a shout out to Ted Lasso, baby. They're about to step up their game. That's right. After receiving 20 Emmy nominations, 4 wins, and most definitely the surprise feel-good show of the COVID season, Ted Lasso has struck a deal with England's Premier League that will allow the series to use Premier League footage, logos, and trophies. So I can imagine where Jason Sudeikis and his merry band of writers will use the hell out of these goodies. Daniel, do you watch Ted Lasso at all?
Believe it or not, but I have not watched it yet. No, honestly, it's in the news everywhere. Yeah, sorry, that's I know, but I haven't watched it yet. Nah, I certainly will. You know, today's the day for sure.
You've got 2 seasons that you can binge through. So right after the podcast, we expect you to go ahead, unplug everything else, and just go do it.
We're going to have to start pre-screening our mystery guests. We can't have a Ted Lasso-less guest on the show. Chad, your infatuation with Lasso is equal parts refreshing and equal parts a little creepy.
I can see that.
You're probably sad the season's over and you have to wait till August of next year for a whole new round.
Julie and I love it. When we hear the Mumford Sons, you know, intro, it's just like it automatically joy just enters our heart.
So I understand there's only one season left and they're done, right? Is that...
I don't know that that's the truth, but
yeah, I'm pretty sure that they said three seasons max. Now the money's good enough. Anything could happen.
But, that's right.
And then isn't it always like they say they're done and then comes the prequel and then the prequel to the prequel. So I'm sure there's a long runway ahead of you.
One guy gets his own show and then there's an offshoot of another show.
There you go.
Beard's going to be next.
Yeah. Clearly Roy Kent should have his own show.
Oh, right? Fuck yes.
I mean, clearly Roy should have his own show. Daniel, anything from you shout out wise? Any special someone or?
You know what? I'll just, I'll make you yawn probably because it's not Ted Lasso, but you know, just to my team, you know, Volante is there you go. Volante, you know, we're, you know, not even 2 years into this. It's complete startup madness very often. And you know, they're just hanging in there, doing all this great work for our fantastic first customer. And it's just madness sometimes. So I have to give this one to my team here, Karen and Simone and Brooke and Monisha and the whole crew, you know, just shout out to them.
How big's the team and why did you do it?
The team is a group of 7 to 8 now, you know, depending on how we flex up and down. And why I did it, I spent 15 years with a Deco group, you know, the big guys here in the space. Yeah, there you go. Had 15 fantastic years there, you know, worked my way all the way up from working student recruiter's helper while I was still at university in Germany. Yeah. And then, you know, just worked my way all the way up. And after 15 fantastic years, had to, you know, try myself on this entrepreneurial path. And you know, I think that we have a problem out there when it comes to career change and change in the workplace. It's just not managed well and handled properly by most companies. You know, you have all these crazy stats. I think just last month, McKinsey came out again saying 70% of company change initiatives fail. And we just set out to, you know, solve for that. So, you know, for us, it's all about turning workplace and career change into more positive and empowering and, you know, proactive experiences also. So that's the why in a nutshell. I just had to do this. There's so much to be done in this space.
So where can you find out more about the Volante?
Volante.
There you go. I love it how you say it. Volante.co. Volante.co is our website. You can see everything there. We have a little explainer video. And then, of course, you know, hit us up on LinkedIn. We're pretty active on there as well.
And Chad and I do voiceovers, Daniel. If you love the way we say Volante, we're happy to take your money and say it in
you know, recording. Yeah, I might take you up on that because I have to say I've listened to the Chad and Cheese podcast so many times and I'm so impressed like how your voices actually sound this nice. You know, I thought it was all like enhanced and, you know, equalizers times 10. I don't know, but it's real. Mic, so. Yeah. Yeah, I might take you up on that. Be careful. Nice, there.
Nice. I'm into it. I'm into it.
Well, Chad, you know what that music means.
We're coming, baby.
We're coming to Europe. That's right. We'll be spending one of America's favorite holidays in a country that couldn't give a shit, Europe. We'll be there for Thanksgiving. Leave them, tell them about the conference if they want to attend.
Okay, so I'm going to repeat myself, I'm afraid, but...
It's called marketing, Levin. I don't know if you've ever, yes, repetition.
Sales and marketing. That's all
the show is.
Repetition,
education.
Okay, repetition is good. I know. Okay. So basically, the 25th of November, we're organizing, and we are, that means House of HR, is organizing the biggest e-recruitment conference in the Benelux. It's a congress, some international top keynote speakers. Also, Chat and Cheese will be there. topics like esports for recruitment. We have lots of Belgian beers, esports. Did I mention esports yet?
I'm very into esports.
Yeah. But that's going to be great. Then search engine marketing, of course. We have programmatics. We have lots of other stuff, remote work. And you're going to meet many fans from the show, which already appeared in one of your episodes.
It seems like a beautiful area. Usten, am I saying that right? Usten?
Ostend. Yeah.
Okay. Ostend. Okay. It looks gorgeous. If you're in Europe or you're in the US and you want to spend Thanksgiving with the Chad and Cheese, go to erecruitment-congress.com. Check out the speakers, register, get a flight, and get your ass over there. We might not have turkey, but we will have beer. Well, no, we will have turkey because Joel will be there. I forgot.
Wah, wah, wah. By the way, I love how Levin says, we have many well-respected and knowledgeable speakers, and then Chad and Cheese will be there. Kind of, well, a diss, man.
I love it. He's on point.
There has to be a difference, you know?
All right. Well, all right, my favorite soundbite. Here we go.
God,
we got unicorns everywhere coming out of Europe, everybody. All right, so we're going to highlight two companies. First and foremost, Personio, a German-based HR tech services provider. Personio has raised $270 million in a Series E funding round to improve automation of recruitment and human capital management processes for SMEs across Europe. The new funding brings the company's total valuation to $6.3 billion. Personio, founded in 2015 and headquartered in Munich, offers a wide range of services from recruitment and application tracking to onboarding, payroll management, development, and data analytics. It has 1,000 employees and also offices in Madrid, London, Dublin, and Amsterdam. Guys, this sounds like a European juggernaut.
It sounds a bit like Volante. So, Daniel, you know what to do?
Yeah, a little bigger right now, but that's going to change, obviously, very soon. Mm-hmm. No, you know what? I will say I've heard good things about these guys, and they're based in Munich. There's a lot of good beer there, too. So I'm not too surprised that good things come out of Munich. But, you know, seriously, the thing is that I'm not surprised about, you know, this significant traction over in Europe also for companies like Personio and the significant growth there, just because, you know, it's what I've been saying, you know, basically my whole life, right, in this industry, the focus on the employee, on people and on their contributions to company success, you know, we're still only at the beginning of that. And so when Personio puts a good product out there, you know, they really build a platform that I would argue in certain ways is, you know, similar to like a Workday over here or a UKG and so on. I'm not surprised that they're getting a lot of attention. So kudos to them, you know, well done.
So they reached unicorn status in January of this year. You can check out our podcast from late January called The Personio Rides the Dinosaur. They've grown from 3,000 to 5,000 customers in the last less than a year. $524 million USD with a valuation that went from, in January, $1.7 billion to now $6.3 billion. And here's the biggest point. They do not need the cash. Literally, Personio is the hot girl at the bar that never has to buy a drink, right? So this is amazing. There's so much money that's out there. But companies like this, you've got to be salivating, Daniel. You've got to be salivating right now.
It's true. You know, I mean, to be fair, you know, some of these stats like the client count, you know, I mean, you really have to dig into this sometimes.
You think they're bullshitting. I hear it.
I'm not necessarily saying bullshitting, you know, but there's a big difference between winning a big enterprise customer and like your mom and pop shop around the corner, right? We all know that. But still, it's a great story. You know, again, good for them. Every bit of more attention and focus on human capital and the value of people, you know, in companies' success stories is good for everybody, including Volante, you know. And by the way, all of this obviously is about digital transformation, right? Because Personio is a digital platform that wants to take care of all of these workflows and processes that, you know, have to do with employees and people in organizations. That's digital transformation right there. And that's, you know, where we come in with Volante, where we say We want to help organizations and their employees succeed throughout this digital transformation, and you know how they work, how you know they can leverage automation, and this is all good. You know, it's, I'm cheering for them.
You said something about the mom and dad companies, but actually they aim mid-sized businesses. They don't aim the big corporate institutions, just the mid-sizes. And I think it's a good choice because those companies, they have outgrown the Excel sheets and all those little tools that we're using, and they need some kind of a platform communicating all together. So they'll be reached out at the right time, I guess. So it's a good client base. And also it's better, in my opinion, to have many small customers than just a handful of big ones. If you lose one, it's less hard.
Daniel, to Levin's point, we're talking about SMEs, right? Joel is pretty much a hater on the SME side of the house because they're hard, man. You've got to corral all those cats. You've got to herd all those cats versus going whale hunting. So I guess the question is, could Personio actually be, I don't know, successful without this type of cash in the first place?
Yeah. You know what? I think so. I think there is a need for, you know, good platforms out there that do what Personio does, right? So I don't, you know, and you said it earlier, it doesn't even seem like they need all this cash. My point is, and again, I'm not arguing like with their success story at all. It's just, you know, client count is a number that needs some double clicking, right? And then obviously, you know, the smaller your average customer size is, the more expensive it is also to find them. So maybe that's why they've taken on this additional money, because, you know, it's really expensive to acquire those customers out there. I don't know, you know, I don't know all the details there. Again, great success story overall, I think.
It's also worth noting Personio job postings get distributed on nearly 500 job sites and boards, including StepStone, Indeed, Zing, LinkedIn, and Monster. So nice. part of the in with a lot of SMEs, I'm sure, it, you know, is like, we'll distribute your jobs and don't worry about multiple boards. We'll take some of that off of your plate. I'm sure that's part of the hook to get into smaller businesses.
Oh, yeah. Well, and we've got more SMEs to talk about.
Hey, Bob. All right. So Personio may be an old-timey unicorn, but we have a fairly newly minted one. If you listen to the weekly show, you'll know about HiBob, with a strong presence throughout Europe and offices in London and Amsterdam. HRIS solution HiBob announced a $150 million Series C funding round last week. The round brings total investment at HiBob to $274 million since its founding in late 2015, giving it a valuation of $1.65 billion.
Hello.
With this recent funding, HiBob's plan is, among other initiatives, acquire complementary technologies and expand their global presence. I'll go ahead and start with the commentary. One thing I'm more cognizant of since doing this show is there are two types of companies in Europe in our space. Those who want to roll the dice in America and those who do not. Mm-hmm. With Personio, there seems to be zero interest right now in America, even with that valuation, whereas HiBob wants a piece of the world's biggest economy. I think it's very difficult for European companies to come to America. Maybe it's the weird accents and the skinny jeans. My prediction is European companies in our space will sour on trying to conquer America, and the new normal will be conquering and being quite happy in your own backyard.
First of all, it must have something to do with the skinny jeans. There's no question, right? I mean,
you never want to see Joel in skinny jeans. I'm telling
you. Yeah. you know. I don't know if I ever want to see anyone in them, but anyway, must have something to do with that. Outside of that, I agree with you. You know, I think that maybe not all, but many European-based companies, you know, need to buckle up before they come over here, because, you know, the level of investment and funding available to both emerging and already established companies over here is mind-boggling. And that means there's a lot of resources here in this market already to defend against, you know, people and companies who come from from overseas. So I'm always in the camp of, you know, taking these decisions on, you know, globalization and reaching out across borders in a very, very conscious way. You know, you can hurt yourself pretty bad if you do that too early.
Right. The total addressable market, Personio actually said, is they have 1.7 million SMEs targeted themselves, but there's 25 million SMEs in Europe overall. So I think Daniel, you're probably right on that. There's a ton of market to be had here in Europe. If you can do that and you can actually gain that traction, I understand there's a big pot of gold across the Atlantic, but why spend all the money to build that fucking bridge when you have pots of gold in Europe? I mean, that's when HiBob said that they were at least inkling to come to the US, that to me just flashed they were trying to use that for funding. I don't know if that'll actually happen.
Yeah, and I think it goes both ways. I mean, we've talked about on the show how ZipRecruiters, you know, is a big brand in the US, but it's basically invisible, according to Levin, over in Europe. And very few companies that have been huge in our space in America, Indeed comes to mind, maybe Monster back in the day. It's really hard for Europeans to come to America, and it's hard for Americans to go over to Europe.
Acquisition.
Yeah, that's certainly one way. Yeah, I think part of what is underestimated a lot also is, you know, we're talking about people industries here, right? We're talking about HR tech, we're talking about human capital, recruiting, HR services. And, you know, this whole element of just, you know, intangibles in how you do business with people and focused on people and people centricity between, you know, two different continents has been underestimated, you know, many times. Now, that at the same time also means that there's always opportunity in, like, trying to, you know, export a business model or a new piece of technology overseas, for sure. But I think, you know, some of those differences and intricacies in how you really deal with people or build a people-centric piece of technology have been underestimated and are part of the reason why it can be really hard for companies to make that leap across borders or even across the big pond.
So, Levin, have you guys thought about House of HR doing any acquisitions or even trying to build that gold bridge across the Atlantic?
We've been talking about it a lot, I think, but for the moment, we are focusing on Europe. And as you said, there are plenty of companies in Europe, plenty of business in Europe, so no need to build the expensive bridge.
And let's be honest, Americans are assholes.
The truth.
I guarantee you, when Americans see favorite written with O-U-R instead of O-R, they're like, well, fuck those assholes. They don't speak our language.
They're just using excessive vowels over there. We can't do that.
What a bunch of pompous, skinny jean, French-wearing cologne assholes they are. So you got to get it just right. And Americans, we're dicks, man. It's hard to make us happy.
Is this where we're getting into the German language course here that you teased at the beginning? Is this
some Scheisenkopf? What is there?
No, there's one word, you know, whenever the topic comes up with friends and you know, obviously over here in New York, there's one word that puts everybody to the test. So I'll share it with you. And then, you know, Levin probably knows what it means, but it doesn't even matter what it means. You just have to pronounce it. Okay. So here you go. The word is Streichholzschächtelchen. But come on. You didn't even try. You
know?
Streichholzschächtelchen.
Yeah, but from, you know, from the Nina song, from the Nina song, 99 Luftballons, Streichholz und Benzinkanister. So I know Streichholz.
Well, guys, all I have to say is this is a perfect bridge to, I don't know, the next topic after this quick break.
Europe has a bunch of countries in it.
Everyone deserves their best job. That's what Fiji stands for. We make a big difference for independent recruiters with the strength of our fast-growing recruiter network. At Fiji, you can be your best self and work for the company you'd like whenever and wherever. We support you with the best digital and online recruitment marketing. We offer professional business development support, recruitment specialist training, and a bit of rebellious network meetings. Let's join strengths and help more professionals find the job they love. Celebrate recruitment and join Fiji at FYGI.NL.
Money, money, money.
Money!
All right, guys, our buddy George LaRocque, who opines on the investment goings-on in our space, says the cash register continues to ring. George said in his Q3 2021 report that WorkTech VC investment set another record in dollar volume and deal count, exceeding $6 billion in Q3, and $13.7 billion has now been invested globally in WorkTech during the 2021 year to date, surpassing the record set in 2019 by more than $8 billion. This sustained surge of VC investment in WorkTech reflects a deep level of interest in the changing future of work and the continuing wave of innovation now upon us. While the U.S. still remains and retains the lion's share of cash, Europe is no slouch. Some highlights: UK leads the continent with 16 deals closed. Germany second with 7 deals. The rest of the continent represented 14 other deals. Among the biggest European companies include Multiverse, which we talked about in our last show, and Ulife out of the UK, Coach Hub and Meister out of Germany, and Factorial out of Spain. Guys, what do we make of all these, maybe lack thereof, euros being thrown around the world?
First of all, I'm really curious to know what Meister is now. Can you pick a more German word or name for a company, right?
Yes.
I'm really curious there. I think this is a good development, right? Seeing Europe catch up, at least to some extent here, with the funding levels here in the US is a good development. Also, to be fair, you know, when we listen to these numbers, I mean, the US is a much bigger market, right? I mean, off the top of my head, I would say that just in terms of, you know, the population, you know, in the US versus Western Europe, you're probably talking about like almost twice as many people, right? So it's not really surprising that there's still a lot more funding over here, but the catch-up effect in Europe is great. And I think we're going to see more of that.
Daniel, Is that the reason why you moved to the US? I mean, you could have launched a company in Europe as well, I guess.
Yeah, great question, Levin. You know, I moved here long before I started Volante. You know, I moved here. It was more like the traditional situation where you move with the big company. So that was still back with the Deco Group like 10 years ago. I mean, now that you ask me, you know, would I have launched the same company in Europe or would I have wanted to move over here? It's a good question. I don't know if I can answer it, but, you know, generally speaking, yeah, I think it's still somewhat easier to get something started over here compared to Europe, but not always. So good question. I would have to think about that a little more. That's a good question. Yeah.
What are the major hurdles? Like we talked about Multiverse last week, who does apprenticeships. And they seem to be eyeing the U.S., which has a lot less sort of red tape around gig work and contract work, et cetera. Whereas we've talked about Europe in length about, you know, are they going to be gig workers? Are they employees? Are they contract workers? And different countries have their own rules. Is that what you see as the main hurdle for these companies? Or do you see more than just regulation in regards to money coming into Europe?
It's the whole climate, I think. It's so many little things. It's like the sheer number of startups. There are so many startups in the US, more than Europe. It's another mindset, I think. So the whole investment climate is different. People aren't as afraid as in Europe to invest money. In Europe, when we go broke, that's something to be ashamed of. Or when we go, is it called broke? Yeah, fight.
Bankrupt.
Bankrupt, that was the word I was looking for, indeed. So in the US, it's like, okay, you've done it once. Second time, you'll do better. In Europe, once you've been broke, you probably will not get a second chance as easily.
So it's a cultural thing.
So it's a climate. Yeah. It's a cultural thing. And also it's the climate. The government is promoting it more in the US, I think. There are many more funds available in the United States.
Yeah.
So it's a whole bunch of things.
I think you're spot on there, Levin, for sure. Fully subscribe to that. You know, another way to look at this is also that, you know, it really depends on like which problem you're trying to solve, right? So you just mentioned Multiverse, right? I mean, I love their model, and I think it's going to work or continue to work very well over in Europe. You know, here in the US, you know, this whole topic of apprenticeships and the acceptance of it, and how does it really fit into the work ecosystem, is just a, you know, really different animal. So yeah, sometimes I think it's important for companies to really, you know, not sometimes, I guess always, it's important to really think these things through, you know, very thoroughly before, again, this question of globalization and taking this leap over here or vice versa is taken. Some of that, I think, limits successful execution of these plans here.
Quick note, apparently Multiverse is headed up by Tony Blair's son. Do I have that right?
Yeah, yes, you do.
Interesting side note there. And it seems like culturally, based on the number of startups, the UK is more open to risk and startups and giving money. Would that be correct?
Yeah, I think so. This okay. goes back to what Levin just said, right? In terms of just, you know, the willingness to take risks and this idea of, okay, you know, you're on your own. So, you know, you kind of go for it and, you know, go big or go home, right? You know this better than I do. So yeah, I think that's definitely part of it for sure. Yeah.
Cool. Well, speaking of crazy cultures, let's talk about Facebook for a second.
Going big.
So big news out of the EU. Facebook will hire 10,000 people in Europe over the next 5 years, announcing its plans in a blog post. The social media giant stated that it was, quote, a vote of confidence in the strength of the European tech industry and the potential of European tech talent, end quote. Facebook, under increased regulatory scrutiny on both sides of the Atlantic, says the Wall Street Journal, will focus on hiring highly skilled engineers to create a metaverse, which is an online platform where users engage with one another using virtual and augmented reality. The company previously referred to its VR-based work meetings app, Horizon Workrooms, as a metaverse project. Facebook has said focusing on VR will reduce its reliance on other hardware makers. Guys, thoughts on the Facebook move to come to Europe?
Yeah. So is this actually focused on Europe? So these 10,000 jobs will be created in Europe. Is that what you're saying? I read the news, but...
Yeah, they're a little cloudy on where. Their headquarters is in Ireland.
Sounds like a bribe, to be quite frank.
Indeed.
It's a little tease, a little carrot out there. Like, you know, keep up the antitrust cases and we may not come to Europe. But most of the projections and the most excited group of people are the Irish. Because the Facebook headquarters is in Dublin, I believe.
But in the Belgium newspapers, they said it was to be all around Europe. So probably they're spreading different press releases according to the country they're sending it to.
Imagine that, right?
It's also a mix of remote work and in-office work.
Yeah. Well, so the bribe actually is a pretty good guess, I think. Hey, we're going to provide 10,000 new people with a job.
Such cynics on this show.
So yeah, but Joel, remember when we had Miranda Bogan on and she was with, she's a senior policy director with a nonprofit called Upturn, and her focus, a lot of her focus was the AI recommender based tech at Facebook. And she was a loud voice against Facebook. Remember how they shut her up?
Refresh my memory.
They hired her. I mean, again, this is something that Facebook and big corporate America has been good at for years, right? This is, to me, it shouts of nothing but bullshit and bribes. And again, who are you going to trust? Facebook? I think they're probably one of the brands that you don't trust, whether it's in Europe, it's in the US, wherever they're at.
Yeah, yeah. I think, you know, I don't know, maybe I'm old school sometimes when it comes to this stuff, but I have a 13-year-old and a 15-year-old at home now, you know, and as much as I think, you know, that what they're describing there, what metaverse is all going to be about, and as much as I know that, you know, even for my kids, like to be on top of some of these technologies, I also find it, you know, scary to imagine that they're going to spend even more time in front of the screen when in reality, I think it would just be really nice for them sometimes to grab their bike and head down to the beach or do something out there, you know? So I guess I'm undecided on this whole topic here, you know, we'll have to figure this out here.
Well, the jury is definitely out on VR. It's clearly not a proven technology as much as I would love it to be. It has a long way to go, obviously. I think to Chad's point, you know, Facebook has more lobbyists and PR people than they do engineers, I think, was the last quote I heard. They have 900 PR people. This is sort of their game, right? Let's create some good PR, obviously, in the States in particular. They're under scrutiny with, you know, 60 Minutes around the whistleblower and what they're doing to teens and all that. They had the outage a couple of weeks ago. So they need some good PR. And why not in Europe, where, by the way, we have a ton of lawsuits and antitrust issues to deal with? Facebook's mantra seems to be, if we're going to win, first we have to win some hearts and minds. And to do that, let's employ some people, or at least let's put out the promise of hiring people to make good with local governments and countries.
Yeah, and normally we would say creating jobs can never be wrong, and creating 10,000 jobs is a great thing. My only small problem with it is they're going to create 10,000 very interesting engineering jobs, and they will take away 10,000 highly skilled engineers from 10,000 necessary engineering jobs. I mean, every company in Europe is screaming for engineers, and when Facebook is claiming we're going to hire 10,000 of them, the other companies won't like it, probably. And it's the problem will solve itself. I mean, within 5 years, those people will learn a lot in Facebook, probably, and they will go to other companies. Yeah.
Sounds to me like some new visas will be distributed.
Ah, probably, yeah. They'll have to. And I also hope Facebook is going to promote STEM education, science, yes, technology, okay? STEM, yep, education in Europe, because they have the leverage. If one company can promote something like STEM, it will be Facebook. So they can use their own channels to do something good for a change.
Yeah, if they want to do something good, let's see them actually do something good, as opposed to just throw press releases at something, at countries.
Chad, I'm not going to hold my breath, just so you know.
You know, just fair point on the press release topic, you know. I don't know if anyone followed this, but like Amazon put out this big press release just a couple of weeks ago talking about, tuition reimbursement and creating the future of work by helping people upskill and reskill and so on. And so to Levin's point, you know, these big mammoth tech firms out there have the potential to do really good things, but so far, you know, it's still the smaller, not small,
breathe,
but
Chad,
smaller companies.
Breathe, Chad.
Yes, no proof.
You can't throw that grenade at the end of the show, Daniel. That's going
to
get Chad all fired up.
I saved the best for last.
All right. The best for last is you, Daniel. Thank you for joining us on the Chad and Cheese podcast as Europe. For those listeners who want to connect with you or know more about your organization, where should they go?
Definitely, you know, volante.co, as I mentioned earlier, volante.co. And then, you know, follow us on LinkedIn. Give us some love there. We'll give it back. And we'd be happy to share more about what we do and our mission here of, you know, creating better workplace and career changes.
Love it.
Excellent.
And if you want to listen to more Euro goodness, check out chadcheese.com/Europe. Guys, it's been fun. It's been real. Let's do it again in a couple weeks. We out.
We out.
We out.
Thank you for listening to, what's it called? A podcast. The Chad. The Cheese. Brilliant. They talk about recruiting. They talk about technology. But most of all, they talk about nothing. Just a lot of shout-outs of people you don't even know. And yet, you're listening. It's incredible. And not one word about cheese. Not one. Cheddar, blue, nacho, pepper jack, Swiss. So many cheeses and not one word. So weird. Anywho, be sure to subscribe today on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. That way you won't miss an episode. And while you're at it, visit www.chadcheese.com. Just don't expect to find any recipes for grilled cheese. It's so weird. We out.
How much do you understand the future of finance? I'm Jim Roos, a top 10 banking influencer and host of the podcast Banking Transformed, where we dive deeply into the rapidly evolving world of banking and financial technology. Join me as I interview industry experts, thought leaders and innovators as they unravel the latest banking trends, disruptions, and game-changing technologies reshaping the world of finance. Redefine your understanding of the banking ecosystem. Subscribe now to Banking Transformed, available wherever you get your podcasts and now available on YouTube.